James chapter 1 tonight. I would dearly desire to sing that song again, but my voice is not quite where it needs to be. If you'd pray for me, I'd appreciate that. I believe that prayers work, don't you? And so if you pray for me, I would, as the Lord heals my voice, and hopefully I don't get very sick from this. Sometimes it starts in the throat and it goes everywhere else. I hope that doesn't happen. Pray for me. And if the Lord answers that prayer, I will consider it your fault or your reason, all right? I will say God answered the prayer of his people and answered my prayers. I won't take that for granted. So I'd appreciate that very much. James chapter 1. I love the book of James. It's an excellent book. There's so much practical advice in it. There's a verse that you ought to memorize, okay? And we're going to read that verse tonight. And I'm going to read the first verse that I read, the one you ought to memorize. We're going to read three or four of them so that you understand what it's talking about. But the verse that I want you to consider memorizing is verse 22 of James chapter 1. That's where we're going to start our reading tonight. So read silently as I read out loud. And we'll read, make sure this is on here, all right? And we'll read several of these verses this evening. The Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Why? "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty..." What is that? Well, you're holding it in your hands. That's what that is, okay? That's the Word of God. And it is described very well as the perfect law of liberty. "And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." I love that word, don't you? Work. "This man shall be blessed in his deed." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I ask that you help us tonight to truly consider the truth of this passage, especially as it applies to the other truth we looked at this morning from your word and the area of how we can be active in this idea of C3. Lord, please bless your word tonight. Bless the preaching of your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. James chapter 1, I could probably spend this evening preaching this passage. I have preached this passage before. It is very fun to preach because I believe James is a very gifted preacher as he's writing this letter, and it preaches very well. There's a lot of great points to emphasize, a lot of great connections to connect. But we're going to say this about this passage. When God says, "Be a doer of the word and not hearers only," I think he said that because it's very possible for you and I to be a hearer without doing, isn't it? And oftentimes, we will hear. We may even agree, we might even amen, we could even say a prayer at the end during prayer time, but we don't go and do it. This isn't me getting after you tonight, because I will admit I've done the same exact thing. But it's human nature to be a hearer and not a doer. It doesn't take much effort to hear. But as we saw in verse 25, if we continue in the perfect law of liberty, we become a doer of the work, and we're blessed. Now, when God says, don't be a hearer, be a doer, he's expecting you to do some work. It will take some work to do what God wants you to do. So tonight, the reason I've chosen this as my text to preach to you from is because the title of the message is, "How Do You See Three?" And that's what's on the little magnet that I gave you this morning. If you did not get one of those, I encourage you to pick one up on the table in the back where you sign up for the Valentine's banquet. But C3 is caring, connecting, and communicating. We're talking about how important that is as a church to focus on those things, to care one for another, to communicate Christ, to connect people to Christ. There's a definition board outside here on the in the foyer reminding you what our mission statement is, what it, the definition of connect and care and communicate. That's right outside. Down the hallway, you'll see some different areas that we'll talk about tonight. And that's what you'll see, what that little poster will make a little bit more sense to you after this evening. By the way, I love a good program. I do. I like a good plan with a good purpose and a halfway decent graphic. I'd like if we had better graphic design and things. You'll see here tonight, I'll mention to you, if you're good at that and you're interested in that, boy, I sure would love you to jump on board and help out here at Lighthouse Baptist Church. But success does not come from a great program. Doesn't come from a good graphic design. Doesn't come even from the delivery of the program. However the speaker may be gifted, it's not going to necessarily produce success. Success comes from that program or theme being lived out and worked out each and every day. Suppose you start a special Bible program. This Bible program is going to take you through the Bible every 3 months. That's pretty serious, isn't it? All right, I mean, I'm going to read the Bible every 3 months. That's a lot of words to read. And let's say you do it. Wow, I completed my program. Now, depending on how you did the reading, it's probably going to determine whether that program was successful or not. You may be able to say, I've been successful in the program. I have checked off every day of my Bible reading. I've read through the Bible in 3 months. But you may not have been successful in getting to know the author of the Bible. You could have missed it. And in that case, I say, well, you may have been successful in the program, but you certainly weren't successful in the purpose of the program, which is to get to know God. You could have failed easily. So really, if we're going to have a program or a theme, it really needs to do this. It needs to be effective. And this is my statement for you tonight to consider. A program is only going to be effective as it aligns our heart with God's heart. As it helps us to love what God loves, to hate what God hates, as it helps us to remind us to follow after God-given truth, that's going to be what's going to make a program or a theme effective. We have a new program on Sunday mornings, the Men of Courage. I'm excited, really excited. Can you tell I've said that a lot tonight? I am looking forward to that immensely. But you know, it's not going to be effective if we just get around and hem and haw and share hunting stories. That would be fun. And it might be effective to help us grow closer together as brothers in Christ, but you know, it's going to be really effective if we center that time around the Word of God and about reading good books to help us to better understand the Word of God and about praying together as men. That's going to be effective because it's going to draw us closer to each other and to the Lord. Every ministry here at Lighthouse Baptist is going to attempt to do just that. As you serve, remember this, as you serve one another through the ministries of the church, you serve God. Pastor, why do you even have ministries set up in the church? That's a good question, isn't it? Why can't we just assume that everyone's going to do their part and throw in? We don't have to have an actual ministry with somebody leading it and have structure and guidelines for the ministry. I mean, why can't we just say, hey, whoever wants to sing a special, just come on up and sing a special. Why can't we say, hey, whoever wants to play the piano, get on that thing and make it sing. Why don't we do stuff like that? Why do we have structure? Well, let me give you three basic reasons. It didn't take a ton of thinking, but I think you'll understand these are pretty correct. First of all, involvement. I want you to be involved. And a ministry is joinable. Does that make sense? It's a made-up word, okay? It's joinable. In other words, I can say, I want to be a part of the janitorial ministry. And then the person in charge of the janitorial ministry, that's the Johnsons, they put your name down on the list, they have you scheduled, and you have responsibilities. You're expected to show up and do your job. It's joinable. You're able to involve yourself in that ministry. It's easier to involve yourself. Secondly is accountability. That ministry has standards for you to follow. Say you say, I want to be involved in the nursery ministry. And you go talk to my wife, and she gets you scheduled, and you're there. Now, she's going to hold you accountable. If you don't show up, guess what? You're going to get a phone call. She's going to come out to the servant and say, hey, you're scheduled for nursery today. Were you not paying attention? Smack. No, she won't do that, but she'll be thinking it, okay? So you need to get back there and serve in the nursery. That's your job. You said you wanted to serve God's people by serving children. Get back there and do it. You're going to be held accountable to that. You'll get a phone call. You'll be expected to show up. The ministry has standards for you to follow. You're going to be expected to behave a certain way. And some of our ministries, you're be expected to dress a certain way. Oh, that's legalistic. No, we just have a high standard for certain ministries in our church, and we should. So there's some accountability there. And thirdly, there's some accomplishment. This is my favorite part. Joining a ministry and fulfilling a responsibility is going to give you accomplishment. You know, after you're done cleaning the church and you put the vacuums back in the closet, you can say, man, I have served God's people by cleaning this church. That's a good feeling. That's good. You ought to have some accomplishment. Maybe you're in the transportation ministry, and my transportation secretary is Hannah Moody. And you know what? She'll be faithful to text me on Saturday. She'll go through the whole list, texting all the moms, making sure the kids are coming, and then she'll have one summarized text to me saying, who's coming? And you know what? That's a huge blessing to me as a driver. And she can think, hey, I have served these children. I have served our church. When she hits send on that text and gets that information to me after doing all that work, she has accomplishment. She's done something, and she has served, and she's served well. So those three things are three areas why we have actual setup ministry for to help people get involved, help people stay accountable, and help people have that sense of accomplishment. You have to be able to get some encouragement. Man, when you park that van at the end of the day and the end of the afternoon at that night and you turn off the keys, you can just stop for a moment and just take a breath and say, man, I have served the Lord today. And that's a good feeling. So my question for you tonight is, how do you see three? Now, I would be a poor leader if I encourage you to take part in this program or this theme or this mission statement, to be involved in caring and in connecting and communicating, but I didn't give you any tools to do that. Now, thankfully for me, most of the tools are in place, but I'm going to direct your attention to them tonight. What is it that you do to communicate? What is it that you do to connect? What is it that you do to care? And by the way, all of us should participate on all three of those things on a personal level, absolutely. But I'm also going to encourage you tonight to involve yourself in one or more of those things through a ministry of Lighthouse Baptist Church. The pastor said the ministry night. Well, not in a sense, but again, I want you to be actively involved in C3, and there's ways to do it. Some of these are going to be set up ministries, and some of these are not going to be. It's things you have to do on your own. Number one, we're going to look at communicate. How can I help in communication? I already mentioned this a little bit, but if you are good at graphic design, that is one area that is very helpful in communicating Christ. We can communicate it via things that we send out, invitations and flyers that we send out to the world. We can communicate Christ. We can be a blessing in communication by having something to put up on banners and posters. That is a huge blessing. If you are gifted in graphic design, please don't waste that gift. That is something that in this day and age is very, very valuable. Why not use that skill to serve the Lord? How would I get involved in that, Pastor? Is there a graphic design ministry? Not yet, but I would really appreciate if you come to me and say, Pastor, I'd love to help out. Right now, you would be the only person in the ministry beside myself. That'd be okay. We'd eat pizza and drink pop and get to making some things. That's what we do, all right? So get involved if you can do that. Hospitality. What's hospitality? Hospitality is the idea of taking care of somebody else, somebody else's needs. How can we communicate? A communication ministry of hospitality. We'll probably have some future ministry availability. Perhaps next ministry night we'll do something where you can sign up for this. But the hospitality is the idea of, and you can do this on your own right now. You don't need to wait for a particular special ministry with a leader to be formed. You can just take it upon yourself. I'm going to be hospitable. In other words, somebody comes in this, through the doors of the church, you're going to take care of their needs. You can walk up, you introduce yourself, you're going to be their friend. If a guest comes in, you're going to invite them to sit with you. You're going to invite them over to your house. You're going to, if they say, hey, where are the restrooms? Don't just point. Oh, that irks me. Don't just point. If somebody ever asks you, hey, where are the restrooms here? Don't just point. If you can, unless you're otherwise disposed, you have somewhere to be, get up and walk over to the restroom with them and say, here's the restroom. Oh, here, I'll show you. Get up and start walking with them. Here's where the restrooms are. Hey, where do I take my kid? Where's the nursery? Go down the long hall, and there's a door there. Just go to that one. What? Don't do that. Get up and walk them to the nursery. Tell them why you're on the way, how glad you are that they're here today. Hospitality. We may have one day a station, a visitor center of sorts, or a book table for for this ministry, but right now it would be an individual thing. Nursing home is another way that we communicate Christ. Nursing home is a ministry that we'll probably do maybe about, I'm looking to try to do about four times this year. It's not going to be something of super constant, but we did that one time last year. We went and sang some carol, Christmas carols to several different nursing homes. They were telling us, we just love having people come out. There were people there, it would break your heart. They said, would you come back and sing to us again? And a lady there told me, one of the ladies who worked there, she said, yeah, we have other churches that come, the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church. We don't have any Baptist churches that come, though. Now, everybody else that'll come and sing and do a little Bible service, I thought, well, we ought to be able to do that. But we're going to try to do that a few times this year. Get involved. I'll let you know with some advance notice. I'll give you probably about a month out. Say, hey, we're going to have a nursing ministry. It's going to be on this night. We're all going to meet here. We're going to go over there. This is all you do. It could just be singing. It could be that you can be involved in another way. And if it's something we enjoy doing, something that we seem to have a fit for, and there's some people that can come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to lead this every month or something like that, we can go from there. We're going to communicate God's love to the residents by singing, preaching, and conversation. Outreach. Communication. Part of our outreach is the direct communication of the gospel. Outreach day, when you come out on Saturday, and we might have some more options for you coming up this year. When you come out and you say, what am I going to do? You're going to try to communicate the gospel. What's one of the things you can do on outreach day? You can go and tell people about Jesus. Tell people about God's love. That is communicating God's love. You're able to do that through outreach. Come out and be willing to communicate the gospel to our community. Oh, please, make it a decision. Put it in your calendar, even if you got to put it maybe April or May. Just mark it down. I'm going to give the first Saturday of the month for outreach. Another way we communicate, then we'll move on to another one, is a transportation ministry. How's that communication? Isn't that isn't that just a caring ministry? Well, for sure. And you'll find that a lot of these ministries kind of bleed over into different categories. That's going to happen because we communicate Christ. We'll show that we're caring as well. But particularly the transportation ministry has a wonderful opportunity to communicate God's love to the children. You realize you get to sit on a van with these kids for 30 minutes sometimes? What do you do? Well, you could talk to them about Lord Jesus Christ, talking about God's love. You could sing songs with them. You know, you have the opportunity to go over to their house, sit down with them as you encourage them to come and talk to their families about Jesus who are not able to come to church. What an awesome way to communicate God's love. How about connect, preacher? How can we connect? What's one thing we can do to connect? Now, connect, there's fewer areas to serve, and I'll be honest, and if you look at our poster, there are not as many things listed, but they are vital. We couldn't do it. One of the areas of connect, well, I'll just go in order so I don't get off track here. By the way, before I even get into those few areas, in all areas, we can develop and should develop relationships and seek unity as a church. Amen? We should do that all the time, every one of us. There's a few areas which we can serve in these ministries of connection. Here's one, the choir and the music ministry. How would that connect? Well, it helps connect us to Christ with the words that we sing. We're bringing each other to the same idea. We're unified in worship to God. Does that make sense? And when we're singing, if I was able to sing tonight with my wife, and we were singing that song, How Can We Reach a World We Never Touch? All of us could be unified in that thought. We need to love this world. We could. Perhaps when we're all singing together, congregational singing even, and we sing a song, you know, that the Lord is faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. All of our hearts can be unified in worship. That is a connection ministry in and of itself, and serving in music. And in the choir, we do the same thing. Perhaps we'll sing a song to rescue a sinner like me. We can help people be unified, connect to that thought, that part of who Jesus is. If we sing a song about God's holiness, helping connect to the holiness of God, that's what we can do through the music ministry. Music is an incredibly powerful tool to connect us to something. Did you know that? Here, I'm going to take a little aside. Ready? Whoop! We're stepping away from the main course of the message because it's so important you understand this. Music connects you to something. It does. And depending on the type of music you listen to, that's what you'll be connected to. Okay, that's just an aside. But I want to listen to godly music. I want to get involved in godly music. You can use that tool to connect God's people to God's truth in an amazing way. Or you could use music to connect to your flesh, to the carnal nature, and do something of that nature. Music is a powerful, powerful tool. What is your music connecting you to? What's another area of ministry? Well, preaching and teaching. Well, you're the pastor. You get to do all the preaching. I'd be thrilled to let somebody else preach. I'm 100% serious. I'd love to have some of our men preach on Wednesday nights. Absolutely. Be thrilled to do that. Why? That's part of what a pastor does, is to train men to handle God's Word and to study God's Word and to preach. I think as we go through this book, our men of courage, I think some of you men may be able to say, you know, I've got some tools now. I think I'd like to develop a message and preach. I'd be thrilled to let you. We're going to have, at the end of this year, we're going to have preaching from the pew. I'm looking forward to that day where some of the men from our church come up and preach a 10 to 15 minute sermon, and we'll have several of them. All the while, we'll be stuffing our faces with tacos and singing all kinds of great songs. It's going to be a good day, all right? You want to be there. So, preaching and teaching. A lot of areas, there are some areas in which you can teach. Don't take for granted your position to teach. It's a way that you connect people to Christ through the teaching of the Word of God. Well, what's another way we can connect? Well, prayer meetings and small groups. Small groups like Our Ladies Bible Study, like our Men of Courage. These things connect us one to another, but we're also trying to connect each other to Christ through those ministries. And that's the different thing about these small groups. You get to go and you get to be a part of the Men of Courage or the Ladies Ministry. And when you get to be a part of that, you are almost, in a sense, preaching and teaching one to another because you're encouraging one another. You're discipling one another. That's a great help and it's a great blessing. So it's being actively involved in that. How about caring? Would you realize that the vast majority of the ministries we have at Lighthouse Baptist Church have to do with caring? That's a good thing. We ought to show that we care. Now, again, some of these things that I'll mention will bleed over into other areas of connection, bleed over some of the areas of communication, and that's okay. Well, what are some areas of caring? Adult Bible class and the Regeneration Youth class. Do you know that teenagers, when you guys go to your Regeneration Youth class, you show up there, you're there for each other. and you're listening to each other's needs, you're unifying your hearts, hearing the preaching and the teaching of God's Word, and you're just there for each other. You go to a youth activity, you're there for each other, you have a good time, you're literally showing that you care about somebody else. Now it's possible to go to an adult Bible class or regeneration teen group, and you could go to that, and you could feel like it doesn't. I'm here for me, and what am I going to get out of it? But really, the purpose of those studies and those groups is that we can care one for another. Go there and get your heart and your mind off yourself, and you'll find that other people will help to meet your needs if you will focus on meeting someone else's. Again, we could even mention there the ministry of showing up, just coming and being there, means something to somebody. You guys being here on Sunday night, that means something to me. It's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to each other. Amen? It is. And it's good to be here. It's good to see each other. We want that. And when you're there for your adult Bible class or your regeneration youth study, when you're there for your Sunday school class, when you get there, you are showing up, you are encouraging, you are caring one for another. Take it a step farther. How about in your Bible class, you get to know some of those people in a close way and care for them. You get to know them in a deep way, and maybe there's something they're praying for. Pray with them about that. The audiovisual ministry. Do we have that? We sure do. Brother Ted's running it right now. Everybody look back there and wave at Mr. Ted. Hey, Mr. Ted, it's good to see you. He's back there. He sits back there and he's working. He's making sure if something goes wrong, if my microphone goes out, he's going to run up here with batteries. But he usually doesn't let that happen because he keeps track of when we change out batteries. He's on it. He's recording this message right now so we can put it on the internet so it can be a blessing to people who've missed it. So if somebody from another state that wants to hear the idea of C3 or how to use C3, they'll be able to receive that blessing. I'm thankful for people that sit back there at that booth and record. That's good. You must say, hey, Pastor, I think I could serve that way. Well, let me know. We'll get you involved. Absolutely. And we have missionaries come. We run the projector. That's the visual part of audiovisual ministry. We run the projector. Maybe you've got some skill in that way. You say, man, I'm pretty good at that stuff. I could probably help you out with a few things. That'd be great. That's what God sends people to church for, to be able to assist and help and care one for another. That's a very caring thing that Ted does and that others do when they're back there at that booth. We ought to care for the people just running that. How about church events? Help setting up tables and chairs. You realize when you do that, it's not just getting it done because it has to do it. I got to get this done. Setting up tables and chairs means you're caring about somebody. You're giving somebody a place to sit. That's a caring thing to do. You're bringing food to a potluck or something like that. It's being a blessing. And then that's the next one you'll see on the list on that poster is culinary. What is culinary? Well, it just basically means food stuff. When you bring a meal or you help to prepare a meal, this shows care for others. When we have a thing go out, say, hey, somebody just had a baby, let's go bring them some meals for a week. That shows that you care. Hey, somebody just had a funeral, let's go bring them some meals. That shows that you care. So that particular ministry and just bringing somebody meals is going to be a blessing as well. Well, the finance ministry. Helping in the area of finance is a great blessing. I know Brother Adam wouldn't want me to toot his horn too much. He's a humble fellow, but I can't tell you what a blessing he is as our treasurer. In fact, yeah, that's all right. You can say amen. I can't tell you what a blessing it is to have Brother Adam as our treasurer. Amen. It's a very good thing. And if you say, well, I don't know how much of a blessing that is, well, how about you do it? Okay, you'll realize how much of a blessing it is then. Yeah, you're right. It's a struggle. It's a difficulty sometimes. And I'm thankful he takes the time to go and do that. You say, well, his degree must have been in finance. Nope. He just decided I'm going to be a servant to the Lord and I'm going to serve him this area of finance. You know, he could use a helper. He could use somebody to help him to file those bills and to create those reports and do things like that. He's got some things squared away that runs smoothly now. It's so nice. But we could use more people work in that area that would like to serve in that area. How about greeter? That's another area of service from the get-go. Greeter is so important because from the get-go, people are showed that they're cared for. I think it'd be good if we, and I've been thinking about this for several weeks now, I think we ought to set up an actual honest-to-goodness greeter ministry with somebody in charge to make sure somebody is at that door every single Sunday greeting people as they come in. On top of that, have somebody in this room every single Sunday that walks around greeting people and saying howdy. Why is that important? Because it's just a way to physically show that we care. And shouldn't we care? We saw that. I hope you understand just from this morning. I'm not going to try to prove those things again. These are just ways to do it. We have serious on-purpose greeters here at Lighthouse. Now, although everybody should be a greeter, I understand that, and I want to encourage that. We have some folks at the door and that float around, specifically being hospitable. They will show folks to classroom, nursery, or restroom by walking them back there. They're going to help with any of their needs, help them find a place to sit if they haven't found one yet. This type of communication is essential. It's to show people that we care. Grounds maintenance. You know what? When you drive to some place and there's tall, mangy-looking grass, a person could receive from that, you really don't care what people think of this place. You don't care about me coming in and having this appealing to my eyes. But when we do all that, everything looks sharp and nice. Ooh, this place is taken care of. It shows we care about people that come here. Do that. Maybe this summer, you say, if I get enough people that say, hey, I want to do that, we'll just get a sign up. Let's say you come out this week and mow the grass. Maybe we'll have a landscaping project of some sort to really beautify this place. We'll get some men come out and just come out and work. Sign up, get on that project. Janitorial. You know, cleaning toilets and vacuuming the floor show that we care for others that come into our building. I'll tell you for sure, if I go to a restaurant and their restroom is filthy, I'm not very impressed with that restaurant. They don't care. They might care when they're getting my money at the end of the meal. They might care enough for me to be happy with eating that burger, but they don't care enough for me to clean that bathroom for me to use. That bothers me a little bit. I don't get mad. I don't throw things, but I mean, it irks me. When people come here, I'm thankful that they got a clean restroom to use. I'm thankful I do. I'm thankful for the people that come out and clean. That's important. The janitorial ministry shows that we care. The ladies' ministry, the men of courage, again, it's a connection ministry, but it's also a way for us to care one for another. The nursery. We can say a lot about this, and I'm going to kind of restrict myself to this statement, okay? Caring for children is perhaps one of the purest ways to care. They don't get much back now, do they? But it means an awful lot to mom and dad. Get involved in the nursery ministry. And by the way, avail yourself of the nursery ministry. There's people back there that have volunteered to serve and to help. They want to be a blessing. Let them be a blessing. They'll say, no, I'm going to do this because of one reason or another. I don't like this, but I don't like that. You stop that nonsense. You put let somebody take your child and care for your child. It's important that you let them do that. Be a blessing. Care for someone else by taking the time to care for their children. That's important. And then, like I said again, if someone's wanting to care for you, let them. That's how they want to serve you. There's a photography. You'll see that on our poster too. Photography. Do we have a photography ministry? But we should. Or no, but we should. In other words, it'd be great. Wouldn't that just be awesome? We have some people that came out and just at an event, just started taking some pictures. We could put some of those pictures up in the hall. It would create more of a family environment. How did that show that we care? Well, it showed that we care one for another. I don't know about you, but I'll give you this example. I've got a calendar that was given to us for Christmas, and it's the Weideman family calendar. It's got the Henrys and the Weidemans and all that and all the different families. And it just had pictures throughout the years of all of us on the page of the calendar. They did it at Walmart or whatever. And so when we open up the page, all of the top part is pictures of us people, and then it's the date, the calendar date. Now, I'll be very honest. Hopefully you don't think lower of me, but every time we flip that thing over, I look for me. I do. I look for me. I just want to see if I'm in there. I try not to be vain, but I just want to see if I'm in those pictures. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember that memory. Oh, that was a good time. The one picture that's on the month of February is I'm on my couch covered with pillows, and Joe and Brett are in there with me, and we're all kind of peeking out through the pillows. I love that picture. It reminds me of a great memory. You know what? Pictures can be a great way to care for someone. Taking a picture of them, having a good time, having that memory, maybe sending that to them or having it put up in the church, it can be a great blessing to somebody. Secretarial helps. It's a wonderful way to care for others by providing information and working to create a nice presentation for our folks. I am glad that we have a nice looking bulletin, aren't you? I'm glad I don't have to do it. I'm glad there's somebody that cares to do the bulletin. I'm glad other secretarial help. I'm glad there's other ways. I know, and even again back to the finance, I'm glad that, you know, when we have a bill or something, it's set on the treasurer's desk and it's all that's taken care of, stamped, put on, and it's mailed out. I'm thankful for that. I think there's people that care about that, care for others enough to do some of these things. Ushers. I just want to say to all of our ushers, thank you. It's a great blessing to have ushers. We care by serving others in collection, counting, and locking up the money. Ushers also act as greeters much of the time. Did you know that? You probably noticed that. You come in, one of our ushers is there to greet you. That's a good thing. That's what they're there to do. I appreciate those who are willing to help in that area. And lastly, on our list, on our poster, is our youth ministry. I'm just going to say this. Teens, you might want to listen up. Teens, you guys get a lot of flack. You do. You have a lot of people telling you stuff like this. You guys just got it so easy these days. It wasn't like that back in my day. Sometimes you guys get a lot of flack. I know. I hear you. I was there. I remember. Sometimes, teens, you get, you know, all these teenagers, this or that. You know what would just be nice? One of these teenagers had you, sir, or you, ma'am, just walk up to him and care for him. Just love him a little bit. Doesn't that be weird? But just go do something with him. Go spend time showing them that you care. Show them that you care. Well, I don't have the money to... Oh, stop. They're not asking for money. They just want to know that you care. Just be involved in their life. Get to know them. Remember their birthday. Do something for them. They need people who will simply serve them and care for them. Spend some time investing in our young people. Oh, by the way, they are the leaders of tomorrow. They sure are. You know what? Some of the young people in our church, I'm kind of thrilled about that. We have some great, excellent young people that I look forward to seeing the future and seeing what God does in their future. I'd like to say that I had a small part in their life. I'm going to try to invest in our young people, and I think you should too. That's the way to care. I said, boy, I really want to do some. There's some people that that really, you know, I know Brother Adam teaches the youth class every single Sunday. Brother Jerry decided I'm going to invest in the lives of the youth, so he goes back there too. Tevin Smith, this summer he's going to be helping in basically restarting the Blueprints and Patterns program. He says, I want to be involved in the life of young people. I want to invest in some of the young people's lives. I think that's wonderful. We'll have opportunities for you to do that in Blueprints and Patterns and other youth ministries that we do. So my question again, as you look at that magnet, I want you to hear that in your mind. How do you see three? Now hopefully you were able to write down or at least mentally check off many of these areas that you do. And I'm not saying you have to add more to yourself. You know, sometimes the solution to growing in the Lord isn't doing more stuff. It's just doing the stuff you do with the right heart. And it's just increasing your love for the Lord, increasing your love. Let's pick on Jerry for just a second. Let's pick on the area of service where he's working with young people. He might say, well, you know what? I just need to get involved in other stuff. I'm going to start doing the bulletin. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to start doing the bulletin. And that might be fun for a little while, but I don't know if it'd be any good. I'm just messing with Jerry. But, you know, he's I'm going to do the bulletin. He'd say, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He could add on to himself all of these ministries. And really all it may be for him to grow in his ministry and grow in his area of C3 could be investing more time in these young people, showing some more love. All of us, different ministries that we serve in. Maybe instead of saying, I'm going to do more stuff, maybe say, you know, I'm going to make more of a commitment to this nursery ministry. I'm going to do what I can to be a blessing to our young people, be a blessing to our young moms. I'm just going to take the extra step, take some initiative to try to help out in this nursery. You say, you know, I don't know. I just don't know if Mrs. Britt would be okay with me coming in with my own time and cleaning some of the toys. Just, I don't think she'd be okay with that. I think she would, okay? She said, I want to help. I just want to be involved more in the ministry that I'm in. So maybe it means that you need to get involved in a ministry or more ministries. Maybe it means that you just need to put your heart into the ministry that you are already in a little bit more. A little bit more. So how do you see three? A lot of these ministries bleed over into other areas, and that's fine. These ministries help us to fulfill our C3 mission statement. But how do you see three? Where are you involved? The purpose of C3 is not to get 6 people in our church motivated enough to do everything that the church needs done. That's not what it is. The purpose of C3 is to get every single person in our church doing something. Doing something. You've heard the old, I don't remember the name of the principle, it's a weird word, but there's a principle that says that 20% of the people will do 80% of the work. And I'm not going to say that's not fair because I could care less what's fair or not, but I will say this, that's not right. That's not right. And I don't think that's the way it is necessarily at Lighthouse Baptist Church, but I will say we've got some room for improvement there, don't we? We could have more people doing more work. It'd be nice if we could say 100% of the people do 100% of the work. That's just the right way to view that. And we don't have to do comparisons on this and that, but that's the way we ought to be. Let's create a culture in our church. Let's be a little different that way. Let's instead of being, say, well, that's just kind of the way it is in every church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Let's just create a different culture. Let's say here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, it's going to be 100% of the people do 100% of the work. We're going to all get involved. We're all going to throw in. All of us are going to be active in the C3. We're all going to be communicating. We're all going to be connecting. We're all going to be caring. We're all going to be involved. Ask God to show you what to do. Say, man, Pastor, I don't know. Maybe I should get involved in another ministry, but I don't know. I'm already kind of taxed with my time. How about you just talk to somebody who created time itself? You say, Lord, you know my time limitations. What should I do with my time? Should I add this ministry? Should I invest more? How could I invest more in the ministry that I'm in? How could I be more of a blessing to serve the people at Lighthouse Baptist Church? How could I serve the people in our community? Or show me how I can better C3. Care, communicate, and connect. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. I don't know how God would touch your heart, but I always want to give you an opportunity.